You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Andy Holding to preview Dundalk's card on a Friday evening. Pretty standard stuff, really. A good card as well to look forward to from Dundalk this evening. We've got 8 races to go at. We've got plenty of runners, plenty of competitive fare. And to be honest, Andy, it's one of the best Dundalk cards that I've seen for a while.
I'd have to endorse that, Alex. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. A couple of races at what you can call dead rubbers for me, betting-wise. But, yeah, I've got a few horses that have been doing some fantastic numbers in the last few weeks, and they're all running here tonight. And the numbers have been working out here at Dundalk. Obviously, you get a few races wrong and trouble in running and all the usual things that go with the all-weather racing scene. But, yeah, a lot of the races have been working out, and I expect them to do again tonight.
OK, well, we'll start with the 5.30, which is a handicap over 5 furlongs. And it looks as open as you're going to see on the card, to be honest. Primo Uomo has been well backed this morning, but comes up against some very, very consistent types who do like it here, the likes of Little Sweetheart. Fast in the Wind has been hitting the crossbar plenty of times recently. Kimbe's got some solid form. Strategic Heights, the old boy, has got would have a chance in this. There are so many that you could give chances to. It's a really, really open start to the card.
Yeah, you're trying to make this race competitive. I actually thought this race was the least competitive race on the card. I do think this Primo Uno has got a massive amount in hand here. Jared Oliver, he's a 4-year-old who ran an unbelievably good race. First time on this surface, chasing home Tracy Collins' rapidly improving horse, Chicklet. She's a real tank of a sprinter, and she dragged the field along at incredibly strong fractions that night. I fancied the third Geological off the back of a good run the time before, and he couldn't live with the front two. They pulled well clear. And this Primo Uno really did serve it up to Tracy Collins' charge in the latter stages of the race, and only just narrowly failed to peg back that to particularly in-form runner. The time in the race is absolutely off the scale. It's by far and away the fastest 5 furlong sprint race I've got here so far throughout the campaign. And Ben is that he's also been handed the plum draw in stall one. I imagine he'll just break cleanly around the inside and hopefully get a nice lead off Little Sweetheart, who's going to have to burn up a lot of petrol from the outside gate. She's been one of the revelations of the current all-weather scene over in Ireland, winning a couple of races on her last couple of starts by making all the running. But she's going to have a hell of a task on here, shaking off Primo Uno, who should in theory be breathing down her neck going past the cutaway. Some of the others are obviously useful, the likes of Kimbe and Fast in the Wind are fairly consistent. Dan's Gift was in good form early on in the campaign, but I do think this horse is really progressive, this Primo Uno, certainly on the evidence of that run, and looks off a handy mark as well. So the nap of the night, by quite some way, is Primo Uno in the first.
Okay, convincing selection, a confident pick in the opener. Next up is the 6 o'clock, which is a filly's maiden over 7 furlongs. This one not particularly competitive, Andy, in that you've got Mitzed in there, who is probably the most likely type in the field, but would have to improve on what we've seen from her so far. Spirit Glance beginning to look a little bit exposed, but brings some solid form to the table. And there's plenty of others that you could see running into a place, but what wins this?
Well, Mitz is obviously one of the most likeliest winners, according to the betting anyway. And you'd certainly suggest that she's likely to find the necessary improvement, having had a little bit of time off since that opening run at Fairy House back in September. This is very much a tried and trusted formula from Dermot Weld. He does come here a lot with some of his nicer horses, particularly fillies. He likes to run a few choice ones here. And this nicely bred horse, obviously owned by Powerful Connections, well, obviously we want to be trying to get off the break its maiden sooner rather than later. She comes a more expensive commodity. Well drawn, And I think she'll find this trip very much suiting her more than the sharp 6 furlongs at East Fairy House. She's certainly bred to get a little bit further than 7 furlongs. She's got quite a bit in her favour here, but I actually do like quite one at a slightly bigger price here from a more unheralded yard. Touch of Gold is going to be my selection here from the John Murphy stable. 3-year-old filly by Paper Ball who had her debut here on the 18th of December. In quite a hot little race, certainly on the figures anyway, that went the way of the David Watchman trainer in Astride, who had the benefit of previous experience. Really good run by Shin Impala and Crazy Tornado in second and third. And they both run well subsequently in maiden similar to this. So I think the form's pretty good. But Touch of Gold ran an Herculean race, considering she was reluctant to load. She was very slowly away. She actually travelled really strongly through the race, and she was coming with what looked a very, very promising effort when she clipped the heels of a horse, and Keith Moriarty did incredibly well to stay in the plate. Obviously knocked her back and knocked her equilibrium all over the place. But she didn't have keep on well, considering that juddering incident happened to her. And I thought it was, I marked her up quite considerably from that. If I think she would have finished in the first three. With just normal improvement, you'd imagine that she'd be there or thereabouts in a race as modest as this. Spirit Glance and Sweetie Jar, for instance, only rated 66, 64 respectively. And they haven't done anything on the numbers to set the world alight. So if Touch of Gold is a little bit more trustworthy in the stalls today and breaks it a bit more cleanly from stall number two, she's surely got to be there or thereabouts. And we can back her around about 8, 10 to 1 this morning.
Okay, Touch of Gold, the selection in the 6 o'clock. The 6:30 is up next. It's a handicap over 7 furlongs. Tribal Path, who was formerly very well regarded when with Mark Johnston, didn't quite happen for him there, and it's only just starting to happen for him now, really. Now over in Ireland with Damien Joseph English. Heads affairs, but there's, again, plenty of credible dangers. Captain Midnight comes here seeking a hat-trick, although hasn't been seen for 77 days. We've got Pick Your Battle, who was a winner here last week. Plenty of other ones that, again, you could see possibly running a good race if at their best, but it's which horses are arriving here at their best, Andy. What do you fancy in the 6:30?
Well, on the times, there's only one horse you can possibly back in this race, and that's Tribal Path. I mean, he absolutely hit the ball out of the park for a horse of his rating the other day, and even though the handicap has put him up £9, not necessarily sure that's good enough to stop this horse if he can run anywhere near that level, because he ran a time way beyond his rating when making all the running and basically just crushing his rivals into a pulp. I actually fancied Rose Angel off the back of that run last week, and for those of us who backed it, and obviously I made it my nap, we were obviously undone, really, by an unlucky run by Rose Angel, but at least at the same time it's boosted that form line. And considering she was beaten 4¾ lengths by Damien English's Charge, it just goes to show how solid that particular race is. I think he'll lead again, even though he's drawn in stall 9. And it's just a case of whether the others are going to be anywhere near or good enough to catch this horse if everything goes according to plan. The only one who possibly could gun this horse down is Captain Midnight, who comes from a yard who do really well with their sort of 6-7 furlong horses. This horse is obviously in great nick and actually beat Tribal Path on the last time they met. That was only by a short head. But given what Tribal Path did last time, I think he's improved significantly. And obviously the other one has got to prove himself. He hasn't run since November. So that's a slight concern there. So Tribal Path, if you're a figures man like I am, then you've got to make him the bet in the 6:30.
Next up is the 7 o'clock, which is an apprentice maiden over a mile. Probably only 4 that bring form to the table that you'd be interested in here, Andy. Wheels of Fortune, Jimmy Kelly, Faradell and Marinella. They're the only 4 that have any credible bits of form so far. That's not to say that nothing else could improve, but they look the 4 to concentrate on here. Which one do you fancy?
Yeah, it's a toss of the coin, really, between Wheels of Fortune and Jimmy Kelly. You know, it actually could fall down on its edge here. It's that difficult. A lot depends on early track position and how the race pans out. But I just slightly prefer Wheels of Fortune. Now, that's not knocking Jimmy Kelly, because obviously that was his debut when he beat Wheels of Fortune back here in early December. But Wheels of Fortune had a little bit of a trouble passage, and he did have a terrible draw as well. You look at it. You know, he's drawn 14, Jimmy Kelly was drawn 7 and was in a much more forward position as they turned into the home straight. So therefore, considering there was only half a length between them at the line, you'd have to say that Wheels of Fortune was slightly better horse on the night. That's my way of thinking anyway. And considering he's much better drawn tonight than he was, not much better drawn than Jimmy Kelly, because they're right beside each other in 2 and 3, but that might just make the difference. 7 and 14, that's a massive turnaround to 2 and 3. The betting is exactly the same as the way I see it. 2-1 the one and 9-4 the other. Obviously, Foreign Dell's got to come into the equation. Do like King Condon's runners here at Dundalk. He's got a fair record. And she ran quite well the last day when we saw her, obviously, in Lingfield. I do think that form, however, is a little bit modest. And I actually fancied her that day. She couldn't quite get the job done. So, with that in mind, I do think the market's right, and hopefully Wheels of Fortune will go very close to winning and break its maiden tag at 7 o'clock.
OK, Wheels of Fortune in the 7 o'clock. The 7.30 is the handicap over a mile. We've only got six runners going to post for this one, Andy, but it's still pretty competitive. Some standing dishes at the track. The likes of Bishan Bedi, who arrives seeking a hat-trick, is carrying plenty of weight, but Adam O'Brien does take £5 off. You've got Ringside Humour, who is consistently running well here without winning, and Hat Al Nasser as well, who's a horse that seems to turn up here every single time there's a meeting, normally runs his race as well. And despite the lack of runners, it's not the easiest race to call, this one.
Yeah, it looks a really competitive race, probably the best race on the card regards quality. You've got Bishan Bedi rated 98. I mean, but the handicap is almost saying this is a group horse, and he's certainly turning into a much more reliable performer than he was early on in the campaign. Particularly now I've started not to tip the horse and I've gone off of him. You know, typical one-way ticket for him to start piecing it all together. I always kind of suggested that this horse could be very, very smart on this all-weather surface. But he just kept being slowly away and giving himself no chance. But he's managed to turn all that around. And even though he has been coming from a long way off the pace, his finishing efforts have been much more powerful than they ever have been. If he breaks clean here and gets himself into a chance turning for home, he's obviously going to be very dangerous. But I'm going to have to go with the figures horse here, and that's Hat Al Nasser. What a commendable and likeable horse this has turned out to be. He's just been a model of consistency throughout the winter. And because of his reliability, I think he's got to have to be the bet here, or the safer bet out of the two. He managed to win here very easily last time. I thought he won much more comfortably than the winning margin suggested. And his runs prior to that behind Northern Surprise have been advertised by Timothy Dawes Charge twice over. That horse is obviously in fantastic nick at the moment. So I'm a big fan of Hat Al Nasser. He's just an uncle complicated. He'll go off in front. He'll just keep grinding out the fractions, run to a very high standard, and hopefully that should be good enough.
OK, race number six on the card is the 8 o'clock, a handicap over a mile. Exceli is the one that we'll probably start with here, Andy, a horse that won here 21 days ago, does like it here, but comes up against plenty of other types that do like it here, the likes of Beat the Ballot, we've got Hillary Manarov, all with course and distant wins to their name, and plenty of others who turn up here on a regular basis and run their race. The 8 o'clock is another one that it's not the easiest race to find the winner of.
No, it isn't, no. Exceli's in great form. I certainly won't put you off him. He's probably a little bit too short in the betting for my liking, even though he's still on the upgrade, and it wouldn't surprise me if he went in again. Ned's Indian has been good money for him. I think the theory with him is that he's been shown plenty of pace over a mile and a quarter, but he's just been struggling to get home. So even though his overall profile suggests that he is a middle-distance horse, maybe the drop-back in trip might just be the key to him. But I'm going to go with Manarov here tonight, particularly if you can back this horse each way, which hopefully you might be able to. He's in and around the 5-1, 9-2 mark as I speak. And I just think he got caught out last time out when he stepped up in grade. It's all right when you get horses like this running in the 0 to 60, 70 band. But when they go up a notch or two and they take on the likes of Hat Al Nasser, Moentry and Marie's, the sort of 0 to 90 horses, that's when they really come undone. And I think that's just what happened. I just think he got outclassed. But he is dropping back against horses that are more suitable to his capabilities. And I think that could be the key tonight. I mean, he didn't run badly that behind Hat Al Nasser, don't get me wrong, but he just was made to look a little bit one pace, whereas the time before he looked really, he puffed his chest down. He looked a much more different specimen. So I suggest that we stick with Tom McCourt's Charles, like I say, particularly from an each way stance. He'll be slowly away and he'll be a little bit far behind coming out of the back straight, but he does finish well, and hopefully that'll carry him into the frame at the very least.
OK, the penultimate race on the card is the 8.30. It's Division 1 of a handicap over 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs. And it's not the strongest race that we'll see on the card, Andy. Plenty of horses that, well, they're not used to filling the places, shall we say. In fact, none of the runners in the field have won in their last six races, which makes it pretty difficult to tip one confidently. But what are we going to go for?
I thought you might have had a go at pronouncing the
eight horse. Yeah. No, I was not going to even attempt that.
Colog Shaky Surgeon, yeah.
There we go.
It's a good job that one's not a single-figure price, eh? But we're not going to deal with him anyway. We're going to go with Tennessee Waltz. Noel Lawless Charge, the top one here. I actually think this horse is quite well handicapped. First run, of course, for Noel, who's got plenty of decent horses in his mitts, particularly here at the on the All Weather. Corker Hill, of course, has won for him, and Kim Bay, actually, in these colours. So he knows what it takes to win here with races at Dundalk. And he's bought this horse off previous connections, obviously, probably nominating this surface as something that he can work with. And his three runs so far to date have been all very consistent on the numbers. And actually, I can think, like I say, off his mark, he should be there or thereabouts here tonight. He's around about a 6-1 shot. He won badly the last time we saw him in Leopardstown, but that was on the grass. But if you go back to his previous run when he was third to Mazzetta, a 70-rated horse, no less, then off a mark of 59, surely he's got to be there or thereabouts. We can back him around about 6-1 each way this morning, and he looks fairly solid in that at 8:30.
OK, Tennessee Waltz, the pick in the 8:30. And the 9 o'clock is the same division. The second division of the same handicap. Division 2 of the handicap over a mile, 2.5 furlongs. This one doesn't look any more competitive, Andy, but there's probably some more credible types in here, some horses at least bringing some more recent form to the table. And the market has it between two this morning, Chan Kyle and Ben Runson. Which of those do you fancy?
Yeah, this could be the night for Ben Runson to show what he can do. He comes from a yard, obviously, in great form, in the shape of Northern Surprise, of course, won 3 off the reel for Timothy. And this horse is very much going in a similar direction to that, i.e. on an upward curve. I actually tipped this horse when he was a 20-1 shot early on in the all-weather campaign here at Dundalk on the 11th of November. And everyone who thought I put that one up must have thought I've lost my marbles completely. But he didn't get the clearest of runs, and he only got beat 5 lengths in a decent handicap won by Brocopondo. He was a 20-1 shot that night, and I didn't tip him the next time because it was a mile and a half and I didn't know whether he'd get the trip. But back to a mile and a quarter, he ran a blinding race, and this is the run that I suggest we concentrate on here. That run behind the very consistent and game Shukov, who's been a model of consistency throughout the last year or so here at Dundalk, and that's a really good effort. He got beat 2 lengths, but he was doing all his best work at the end, and I just think he's just one of those horses who's been a very, very slow burner, and he's been very much learning on the job. But he's got enough knowledge now to surely start showing what he can do. And off a mark of just 50, hopefully tonight, in this really weak race, he can do just that. So Ben Runson, fairly confident pick in the final race.
OK, great stuff, Andy. Best luck with your picks. And we'll catch up with you on Sunday.
Certainly will. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.